Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitis. I write the Cats Report for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. I write for the new publication in Greenspun Media Group, The Sunday. I write for all the Greenspun Media Group publications and also for Vegas Magazine, owned by sister company Niche Media. I am flying solo once more this week because my dear co-host, Tricia McCrone, is in the big sky country of Montana. And she's going to be back, not today, later, hopefully soon. But joining me now are two great artists who are doing a great thing on Saturday night. The event is called Vegas Unplugged. It's a music festival. It's bringing an eclectic lineup to historic Fifth Street School, says the news release. The time is 6 p.m. on a Saturday night. Tickets are $10 in advance and $15 at the door for this all-ages show. And putting it on are two great artists, Mundo Jularat and Stuart Carter Smith.
Very good.
Nice. Both of whom play stringed instruments. Now, Mundo,
yes, sir.
You and I know each other,
mm-hmm.
and Stuart I have met, but I think I just met him today. So, first of all, how did you get involved in putting on this show, and what is the show?
Yeah, it's a fun story. As you know, I'm a professional guitarist, mainly rock and roll.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I got into gypsy jazz and via the worldwide internet. we were hooked up. Stuart lives in England.
He is from England.
That's right. Yeah, and, I can confirm this.
Mm-hmm. What city, by the way?
Cheltenham, which is about an hour from London.
Chapman?
Cheltenham.
Cheltenham.
The Cotswolds.
Cheltenham.
Anyway, a famous...
Well, welcome to the United States.
Thank you.
A famous guitarist named Andreas Obert said, I think you guys should meet. So we met via Facebook, I want to say.
Yeah, it was kind of mm-hmm. online dating, wasn't it, pretty yeah. much?
Like a FaceTime kind of thing?
Yeah, almost. I don't think we didn't go that far. Every time he wanted to call me, it was the middle of my night.
So yeah, exactly.
Trouble.
Of course.
Anyway, Stuart was coming to town saying, can we join my group Gypsy Fire with the Hot Club of Las Vegas mm-hmm. for a gig? And we did that.
That's the Gypsy Jazz
Gypsy
band
jazz,
you were
yeah.
fronting.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And so it went well. We had a blast. Stuart and I hit it off. And as it turned out, Stuart goes, I put on festivals in England. You should come out.
Okay.
Never expect him to come, of course. You know, one of those when you're uh-huh. away and you invite people back. Well,
especially when you're that far away.
That mm-hmm. went wrong.
So, yeah.
He turned up.
I show up. I'm here. He's got to drive to London and pick me up. So I got to see the festival firsthand. And also, I got to help set it up. I was staying with him a few days before.
He earned his keep, for sure.
It was fantastic. First of all, for this Hawaiian boy, I'm going to England, and where they live, it looks like King Arthur country.
Right.
So it's like Sherwood Forest everywhere.
You ever been over there before?
I went to visit him.
That was it, though.
That was
the first time? Wow.
And so we go out to see the venue, which was a big, wide-open grass field. No signs. And I mean, I'm going on runs.
They call that a pitch over there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
A pitch. I'm going on runs with his dad. We're going to a one-man... ale house operation to get ale, and this big guy saying this is the way they made it 350 years ago, and this is the best. So it was very a grassroots thing and very community thing.
Well, what kind of a festival was it exactly?
It's very much a gypsy jazz festival.
Okay, just
so
an open
it's kind of a niche one. Yeah, it's 3 days camping, and you get there and you just chill out for 3 days. And,
yeah,
and music goes on, and some people
is come. It kind of an open territory? Could Mundo have shown up and just started playing, or did you have a set schedule of artists?
Yeah, there's a set schedule of artists from pretty much all over the world, and so the best in the genre, which is a very small niche genre, which is good for the festival, but also quite bad because most people have never heard of the music, so they
right.
don't really know
it's
what they're getting
into. Great for the
artist,
but you're not getting right. much of a crowd.
Yeah,
right?
but when they come, they love it. So it's
that being said, I'm there. We help pitch the tent. We're putting tables. We're helping the sound guys set up, and then just straggling one by one, a car comes and they pitch a tent. An RV comes, and within half a day, the place is packed with campers circling this tent.
Mm-hmm.
Porta potties were there, and it was just like this little gypsy jazz city, and the place was packed. And one thing he did that I really liked, it's very interactive. So everybody had a guitar. So this campsite, we're having mini jams, and mm-hmm. sometimes the famous artists were wandering and playing with these
like a strolling amateur musicians kind of
yeah, kind of. It's just really cool because they can get out and see their fans, because the genre is it's getting bigger, but it's almost like if you're into blues guitar to just sit down and jam with Eric Clapton. So it's quite cool for the guys who come to the festival, because there's a very good chance that they would be able to have a jam with the headliners, which is a great buzz. And it's the way when I originally started the festival, I went to one in Samoa, which is the kind of the epicenter of this kind of music, and this festival in France, And I was amazed, because all my heroes at the time, I could just sit down and buy them a glass of wine and sit and have a jam. It was like, whoa, incredible. And I wanted to bring that to the UK, basically, so everybody could get a feel of that, because it doesn't happen in Glastonbury.
Where is the hub for gypsy jazz artistry? If it's not in England, it's probably not in Las Vegas. Where does this?
There is a new young movement in Paris.
Yeah, okay. Well, France is. It was all started by Django Reinhardt and Stefan Rapelli back in the '30s. So that's where it kicked off.
And it's still pretty pure.
Yes, to that form, right? Very much. Yeah, they've stuck with that. They've kind of influenced him with some bebop and things. But a lot of musicians like it, especially the kind of shredders like Mundo and stuff, because it's very technical and it's on acoustic guitar, so you can get out and do your chops and show off a bit. It's a great genre for that breeding ground, so it's cool. It's getting getting up there.
And when all this happened, when did you go and visit Mundo?
This is 2008.
Oh wow!
And true to form, like Stuart's saying, short story. I hung out with my idol Jeff Beck. Mm-hmm. Found out that his favorite guitarist is Django Reinhardt. So as I checked into Django Reinhardt,
really, I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, but I was in. I was with his band, and it was a surreal night in his hotel room watching Austin Powers. eating sandwiches, yes. And
so what was surreal about it?
I remember going, you know, it felt like a band thing, you know. Jennifer Batten was his guitarist and she's my teacher, so I got the invite that way. Okay. But I'm walking up the hallway and I go, maybe I should leave, Jeff. And he puts his arm around me, goes, no, mate, we'll have sandwiches. So we go, the band goes and puts their instruments in their respective rooms, and I'm just in the room with Jeff and he's picking up his stuff, his guitar's there, I'm freaking out. And then on the floor, I think it was Virgin Records, he had maybe 30 CDs, and some of them were like Howling Wolf, and that, but most of them were Django Reinhardt. And that's what made me ask the question.
Okay.
So from there, I started learning about the form, reading about it, and then I got into Stokolo Rosenberg, trying to make this short. Stokolo's like maybe the top third guy, you know, one top one in some people's, you know, three top guys. He's in that bunch. And boy, I'm hanging out with Stokolo and he wants to buy me shots.
Wow. what kind of music were we playing up to that point? What was your interest until you got in this world?
Professionally, I'm a musical mercenary, so I play every style, but I'm a shredder. I make my living that way. So
a shredder being a rocker.
I understand a shredder to be like Steve Vai or Van Halen.
Exactly.
So I play in that style, but that's what I do.
So this kind of rounded you off as an artist.
Yeah, and there's nothing to this. To bring it back to Vegas Unplugged as well, there's when you're playing an acoustic guitar, coming from my background with all this distortion and all this effects, there's nothing to hide behind. It's pure. It's harder.
It's an art in itself to get the most tone out of a guitar, just an acoustic guitar.
A lot of musicians, not just guitarists, a lot of musicians, period, I feel fall into the trap of relying on the technology to mask.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm guilty of that too.
I think it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. I think it's just and if you've used it enough, you can't help it. You know?
But I think it becomes two arts almost, because, I mean, you've got the great guys who have used incredible effects over their lives, and that's also an art and a journey of theirs, trying to find the right pedal, the right effect, the right pickup. But I think it's always nice to get back to the start of it and try and get the most out of the instrument.
Well, it's almost like you should do that mandatorily anyway, just to keep your organic feel for the instrument alive.
I agree. Right? I started that way in Hawaii, but I got to say, playing the Hot Club, which is very rewarding with the Hot Club of Las Vegas, not to make a joke of it, it feels like I'm naked up there. I don't have my effects.
I know what you mean, because I've only seen you guys in a full show just one time, but I really remember feeling the warmth come from the stage and that immediate artistry, that is not coming through an amplifier,
I have a joke with Jerry Lopez, who runs Santa Fe, because he always says, come out and get your healing. Mm-hmm. And I was out the other night, and I was totally tired and had the healing. But I said, Jerry, I always go, don't come out for your healing. Just come out and see if we survive.
Well, if Hot Club had a regular Monday or Tuesday gig like Santa Fe did, it would also be a healing type of a thing, yeah. I think, because it has that kind of...
We've been trying to find a venue.
I'd love to hear that, because I think it's a very, from what I find from Europe and coming over here, because when I first came to the U.S., I mean, people really had not seen even the guitars that we play, mm-hmm. these kind of... got strange holes, this gypsy type of guitar, and it's nice how it's changed over the years. And you know, I think it would be great if Mundo's band was playing regular somewhere, because people is addictive, well, you say. It's
I cool. like, yeah, I would like that idea too. We got to do this real quick, gentlemen. We have to take a break so Josh Bell, our film critic, can talk about what he does or does not like this week. And when we come back, it'll be John Katsoulimidis with Mundo Jularat and Stuart Carter Smith talking Vegas Unplugged. So stick around. I know we will.
Because I like the way you play, you go to another place, and you're beautiful.
That's Chloe Grace Moretz as cello prodigy Mia, and Jamie Blackley as her sensitive rocker boyfriend in If I Stay. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Mia's perfect life is shattered by a car accident in the first few minutes of If I Stay. With her body in a coma following the accident, Mia's spirit wanders the hospital, witnesses the grief of her friends and family, and has carefully timed flashbacks to her dull romance with Adam. If I Stay uses its flimsy supernatural premise as framework for a lackluster romance, with two talented, thoughtful teenagers falling in love easily and predictably. Moretz has grown into a compelling lead performer, but Blackley is less charismatic. I give If I Stay 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the indie drama Calvary, starring Brendan Gleeson as a small-town Irish priest.
Not a word there with Veronica, Jack. You're out of the house, are you? Is everything all right?
Everything's fine. I mean, no, everything's not fine.
Gleeson is outstanding in writer-director John Michael McDonough's uneven religious parable, which is bleak but sometimes darkly funny. Warned by one of his parishioners that he will be murdered in 1 week's time, Gleason's father James devotes himself to making the rounds of the eccentric, damaged residents of his town, doing his best to console or counsel them. While Father James is a complicated but ultimately decent man, the other characters are more one-dimensional, and McDonough can't quite fit them all into a compelling narrative. I give Calvary 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. John Katsoulimidis once more hosting Cats with the Dish without the Dish. She's in Montana. So if you're here to hear the Dish, you aren't going to be hearing the Dish. I'm sorry. Maybe next week we'll get her back. We got Mundo Jularat and Stuart Carter Smith, who are talking about Vegas Unplugged, the musical festival that is being held at the Fifth Street School, the historic Fifth Street School here in Las Vegas, which is historic. It is one of our longest standing education institutions. And
beautiful facility.
It's a great facility. Now for people who aren't familiar with the location of Fifth Street School, we know it's on Fifth Street, but where are you going to be playing?
It's not on Fifth Street. The address is 401 South 4th Street.
4th Street.
Isn't that
right,
funny?
That's true.
It's
that's
four,
right.
Four and a half street. Mm-hmm.
So it's I would say the corner of Clark and 4th Street.
That's right.
They've got
I've got friends who work there. I forget that.
They have a bunch of management offices, like the Office of Cultural Affairs there. It's owned by the City of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And they have a converted gymnasium, which is absolutely no-no for musicians, but I have to say they've treated the room with acoustics and it sounds great in there. I've done a few concerts.
Right.
We're going to also be using the gallery.
Okay.
And we're going to have food trucks. The gallery is going to be featuring some more beverages like Holly's Cuppa. She's got some great coffee. Vegas's best coffee, in my opinion. She's going to be setting up a coffee stand in there, proper beverages and liquor beverages. And then we're benefiting Opportunity Village's Fine and Performing Arts program.
Okay.
So,
which is amazing.
Yeah,
we just came back from a tour. Fantastic.
So all money's exceeding our, past our expenses will be benefiting them, and we're also providing awareness to this relatively new program, which is only 4 years old.
Started in 2011, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're the first ones to say we want to benefit Opportunity Village, but we want to benefit this program.
Right.
They thought it was cool. They were like, that's cool, but nobody's ever asked that. Let's see what we can do. So we've been having meetings, and Amy Adams from LA, former American Idol,
right.
top 10. Mm-hmm. She's been helping us. And yeah, we're so happy to be doing this and also partnering with the city of Las Vegas using this facility. So
it's all indoor.
It's going to be indoors because it's a hot August night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really warm in Vegas, isn't it? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you don't, yeah, exactly. I know it's bad for the instruments and bad for the musicians bad for the crowd. Let's talk a little bit about the lineup. It's sort of rangy, I think. I know a couple of the artists pretty well. Martin Navera has been around Las Vegas for quite a while. Filipino artist, singer.
Yeah.
And I know the band Avalon Landing pretty well, too.
Right.
How did you decide on those particular, those two especially?
Well, right off the bat, Avalon Landing and PJ Barth have both played in Vegas Unplugged before. We've done this
festival. Oh, that's right. The PJ Barth Trio's in this, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Avalon Landing, I forgot the proper name, but they won the Hard Rocks Battle of the Band competition.
Yeah.
And we're really proud of them. They've grown musically and artistically, and we feel like they're one of Vegas's next big things, so we got them.
Yeah.
PJ, one of the best local blues guitarists Vegas has to offer.
And he's an export now, pretty much, isn't he?
Since his first time with us, he's gone on to work with Beth Hart, who's a powerhouse famous blues singer.
Yeah.
She was with Jeff Beck as well. And he just got back from Europe, France, a few weeks ago. But they've been touring, and since then he has the gig, and he's just tearing up YouTube. We were watching him on YouTube this morning. So
he's in Europe more than I am. I live there.
Great success story.
So yeah, we wanted to get them back. Bishr Hezazi and his Arab ensemble. I've known Bishr forever, and he is my favorite local flamenco guitarist.
Okay.
He's the guy. Jerry Lopez, my brother-in-law, we just love him, and I wanted him to do his thing. And he's like, well, I have an Arab ensemble. I'm like, great. So we signed him up, and I find out he's playing oud. So he's a master of that instrument as well.
Amazing.
Oud?
Oud.
What
it's like
is
a
this?
Stringed Arabic instrument.
Oh, okay.
But I thought he'd come in with the flamenco thing, and then, boy, it's fantastic. Him and Lorraine Kaiser will be playing violin, and then they have Arabic percussionists. And
this sounds like, cool. I know Avalon has got some kind
pop
of rock pop qualities to them, but it sounds almost like everything else is acoustic driven.
Well, the whole festival is acoustic.
The whole thing is.
Yeah.
We don't, there's no plugging
that's
in at
the
all.
The main thing.
Whatsoever.
Well, there's amplification, but they're acoustic instruments.
Okay.
Because there's quite a few.
Because sometimes you hear Unplugged when it's really kind of just implied.
No.
But this is really.
Yeah,
it's the main one. I mean, our original idea, we were thinking of trying to get some of the bigger names, a bit like the Unplugged back in the MTV days, and just trying to get as many people as we can to unplug, you know, and try and do it as kind of ground roots as you possibly can, which is, I think, is great for the audience because there's nothing to hide behind, as we've already said. And and it also makes the artists think, and they really enjoy it as well. You know, they're putting together an acoustic set and reworking their arrangement so it's acoustic. So it's cool. It's great to watch, and it's great to be a part of.
Yeah, and a disclosure. I was one of the judges in the Avalon Landing contest when they won the Hard Rock. I happened to be. I didn't know who was in the lineup.
Okay.
And I show up at the gig on the Strip at the Hard Rock Cafe, and there they are. I really didn't know. I didn't want to know who was in the in the field. And I've known of them since they arrived in Las Vegas.
Oh, great.
So
fantastic.
So now I'm kind of connected to them peripherally. But I know that is the case with everybody involved.
Yeah.
They rehearse the hell out of it. They practice and practice and practice and practice. So it's great to see, you know, everybody who does that be rewarded.
Our festival model, our business model was always let's feature the best of what Vegas has to offer in the way of indie acts. They don't have to be acoustic artists. We want everybody to do their thing, just do it acoustically.
Right.
But if we run the gamut from that all the way to, let's say, Slash doing an acoustic set. Now as the artist, we said, what if we had Slash, you know, and actually get somebody who's like a musical mentor that can come in and do that. So that's where we want to someday get this.
And everybody starts usually with an acoustic, an old acoustic guitar, and everybody knows all about that. You know, it's not often you start with some Ibanez shred kind of guitar, electric. You know, you always start on that basic form. And
you work your way up to that technology,
it's nice,
right?
So we all play that.
That's how you guys started, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
As well as to this day, all these electric artists, they will write songs on acoustic guitar as well as acoustic piano.
It's just inconvenient to write and have to plug in and assemble everything.
Yeah. Oh, you're so right.
You know, I mean, it seems like, I'm having never actually written a song or played a guitar, but it seems like that's the way that people still write.
Yeah, you're on the run as well sometimes, because something comes in your head when you're in the middle of nowhere in a hotel and you just grab a guitar and it kind of helps. You know,
I see these small guitars. They almost look like ukuleles, these baby Gibsons or whatever they're called.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Parlor guitars.
Parlor guitars, it's an old technology. They're around for more than 100 years.
They're called parlor guitars?
Yeah. Tommy Emmanuel and some of these guys use them pretty much exclusively, and it's cool. Yeah.
Washburn's one of our sponsors, and I'm an artist with Washburn Guitars, and they've been around. They're an American company that's been around since 1883 making guitars, and they've got a great parlor guitar.
Amazing.
Speaking of which,
Washburn?
Washburn is
Washburn. I've never heard of them.
It's a pretty big make, actually.
They're known for acoustic guitars. But they have donated us a acoustic steel string, proper steel string guitar. And we're having a raffle, $10 a ticket. And you could basically come see Vegas Unplugged and leave with the guitar. All the proceeds go to Opportunity Village's Fine and Performing Arts. So,
And now you have an Op Village group performing.
And we're so excited about that. Thunder.
What are these guys
about? They're a percussion group.
I think I've seen video of them before.
Yeah.
I believe I've seen them. Yeah.
They've kicked off our festival before, and this year they're doing it again. And it's almost like that ceremonious breaking that champagne bottle across the ship's bottom.
It puts everybody on the good mood. Yeah, everybody's happy straight away because those guys are amazing, you know. And just seeing them on stage perform and the energy that goes into it is just amazing. It's great to be a part of. We're playing with them this year.
Yeah, we're going to play a song with them.
Yeah, we've just been rehearsing this.
And what are they playing? Are they coming out with like bongos? Are they drum corps?
Bongos, snares, shakers, singers, marimba.
Yeah.
Their music mentor, Daryl Borges, who is a...
Yes.
Yeah, who's a drummer, and Robin from Australian Bee Gees, one of them. He's their music mentor. He'll be playing the ukulele with them.
Yeah, Daryl's been working with them for quite a while.
Yeah.
He's a friend
of
mine.
He's doing great work.
Yes. He's one of the great guys in the city.
Exactly. Everybody there. Like I said earlier, we've just had a tour around, and it's...
you toured the facility?
Yeah, it's quite humbling. It's incredible.
Oh, my God. Don't you just want to empty your checkbook?
Oh, absolutely.
Honest to God, I've been out there a couple of times. I'm like, I'm not leaving. Yeah. I am... What do you need me to do?
Exactly.
I want to live here.
Exactly.
Sell the car, move in. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's almost like you have to not go there.
Yeah, honestly, it's so addictive.
It is, yeah. It's such a powerful thing. But it's an organic Las Vegas charity.
It's a fantastic project.
Elvis's charity.
We had PJ with us today, and Martin Rivera, and certain Filipino ladies were just screaming, freaking out about Martin. There was this, like, we'd be talking, they'd be giving a tour, and you'd hear this scream from across the room.
He's
huge over there.
Massive,
I know.
He's like 15 platinum.
Incredible.
Three multi-platinums.
I saw him sing the national anthem before a Pacquiao fight a few years ago. I think he was fighting Ricky Hatton.
All right, yeah,
Your brother.
Yeah.
That one didn't last
that
long.
That was interesting.
Let's move on.
But I remember it was a divided audience. I mean, a divided crowd, because we had a lot of people from Britain come over who were Ricky Hatton fans, huge following. And then Pacquiao has this huge Filipino following. And when they introduced Martin to sing the national anthem, the place came apart. It was like, holy crap. He really has a huge following.
He does. I like to say this story. I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of famous people. And I call back home to Hawaii and I say, Hey, Auntie, I just did a concert with this person. I just worked with this person. And they're like, that's cool. And then I said, hey, I just worked with Martin, and I got to sing a duet this time with him. And they freaked out. They're like, what? They're on the phone calling the family. They're calling friends. You know, my nephew did this, did that.
I was amazed. The reaction today is incredible. I've never met him before, and I've not really heard much apart from, I've been fed from Mundo, and they were just everywhere.
Just Google him, and you'll be astounded.
Yeah, exactly. On that topic, and it'll just dovetail into this, who are the favorite artists you've performed with, Stuart?
All of my guys, really, nobody would have heard of, because they're people like sort of Borelli Legrand, and maybe that's one of the more commercial ones, but they're all kind of gypsy jazz artists.
Yeah.
And the other guys are really like Hank Marvin, who's big in a bit like Martin, really, is a huge artist from the UK, massive, and but
from the Shadows, right?
From the Shadows, yeah. So, but I mean, he was pretty much inspirational with his Stratocaster. He changed kind of electric guitar music. If people look him up, he started the whole Jimi Hendrix, the whole bit. Yeah, he was the first person in the UK and in Europe to even have a pink Stratocaster and using the tremolo. So it's pretty huge. Yeah, and he's a great guy. He's helped. I've known him for a long time. But other ones are just people that you cross paths with, because the genre that I play in is jazz. So you kind of play a lot with a lot of jazz people. But never so much big performances. You try and promote your own band and do your own.
Right. And you have an act? You have a band?
Yeah,
right,
Gypsy Fire is my band. It's probably the biggest of this genre in the UK.
Gypsy Fire,
yeah. Okay. So I think this stuff all
sounds dangerous.
Yeah, we've got a couple of dangerous people in the band. So.
Pyrotechnics.
Yeah, there's a
let
bit
out
of
the bottle rockets on.
Yeah, it's got a little. I've taken a little bit of Vegas to it.
good. Yeah.
It's seeped in, but
get some Cirque people on bungee and
it's nearly
pyrotechnics.
That.
Yeah, then you have jazz involved.
Yes.
What about you, Mundo? Who have you gigged with? I haven't known about.
I've gigged and have people sat in with me. I'm run the gamut from Sheena Easton, Brian McKnight, a lot with David Coverdale from Whitesnake. Mm. He would always sit in with my group, and then I would hang out with him afterwards.
Yeah, he was here a couple years ago getting an award at the Hard Rock.
I haven't kept in touch. He asked me to join a group with him called the Disciples of. There's going to be David Coverdale and the Disciples of Decadence, and I was all for it. He had a blues guy, and then I was going to be the shred guy, and it was like he's going to redo Sam and Dave and the old rhythm and blues thing and make it a review. Then he went off and did a CD with somebody called Jimmy Page. And that was the end of me.
It was Cloverdale and Page? Is that what they
called
that?
So that was that period. I was
so
like,
long, Mundo.
So excited. I played with Bill Champlin from Chicago, all the guys from Chicago, Justin Hayward, Moody Blues.
Danny Seraphin's going to be in town, by the way, in October, I think, playing with Pop Evolution.
Is he really?
Yeah. They announced that from the stage this week.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be at the Cabaret Jazz playing with Pop Evo. Yeah. And Champlin I've seen play with Santa Fe also.
Champlin's
recently.
Great. He doesn't know, but we're going to try to get him and Jerry Lopez for next year's Vegas Unplugged.
Jerry's done this before, has he not?
Jerry's been talking to me about this for...
But that's between us three.
Yeah, just between us.
I'm texting him right after the show.
Since 2000 or 2001.
He gets unplugged next year. It'll be a wag the dog thing. I'll ride it, and then he's got to do it.
He's got to do it. I just called him. I said, since 2001 or 2000, he said, he's wanted to do an acoustic thing. I'm like, you should.
Well, he's got that whole acoustic album he did last year, I think,
But, he was studying flamenco back then, and I was jamming and playing with him back then. I worked with him in the Storm Show, and I would sub sometimes.
Oh God, that's right. He was in Storm.
I was always with them, and we were always playing, and it was just, I talk about who I played with. That's right up there on the list.
Oh, you guys have a lot in common. He's such a great man.
Right.
I'm really a big fan of him.
But how long has that been? 2001 till now, 14 years 14. Or 13. Uh-huh. So I called him. I said, I'm giving you a year.
One more.
Jerry loves his deadlines. Yeah. We have got to, boys. We got to wrap this up now. We'll give one more shot to Vegas Unplugged.
Yeah.
It is Saturday night at the historic 5th Street School in downtown Las Vegas. Tickets are $10 in advance and $15 at the door. It's an all-ages show. It starts at 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. and runs until...
10?
It runs for like days.
It's like
they're just going to run and run and run until the janitors show up to kick you out of the gym. But I wish you guys well. I probably will be able to see you down there. I'll let you know how that's going to work.
Yeah,
we'll
cool.
come down and maybe we'll bring a photographer and take pictures of you guys. But I just want to thank Mundo Jularat and Stuart Carter Smith for
thank
coming
you
to
much.
Catch
thank
the
you.
Dish. And we'll do it again.
Can I say one thing?
Oh, go ahead.
Just thank you so much. We are very small grassroots. We've got no money for advertising, so spreading the word and helping our community. It's community-driven and community give back, and we want to. We need all the help we can get
Perfect.
To get the word out.
Perfect. Well, you owe me $20.
Thank you,
Thanks, guys.